Roll call is done. Citizen comments? Any citizens' comments tonight?
Hello, my name is Marita Huff. I am at 7939 34th Avenue in Kenosha. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. One is on the one of the very few things that came out of a recent killings and events where police are involved with citizens and bad things happen is that I learned that some cities and areas have teams that go out on 911 calls that have a mental illness professional or social worker with them. And I would think that in some situations, if the call comes in for domestic violence or my son has mental illness and he's threatening, you know, these kind of calls, it would be really appropriate to have that type of expertise on the call with you. And so I know that there is some people in leadership in Kenosha that are working on developing something like this, perhaps as a pilot program. And I would just urge this body here to look favorably upon that, perhaps put some money in the budget for paying for a pilot program to see how that could work here in Kenosha, perhaps as a complementary between the city and the county, but you guys know more about that than I do. I just think it's a really good idea because you need to have a special skill set to deal with those special cases. And then the other thing was something that I really don't know a whole lot about, but I saw in the paper, there was an article about DARE in the paper, and I know of DARE as a very good program that was around since my kids, and that was in the 80s and 90s, were in school, and has had success. And so I would like to just compliment the people that take the seed money that they get from the board. I believe it was something like $16,000, and turn that into something over $100,000, and I think that is amazingly resourceful of them. I'm sure it's a lot of work to do that, and I applaud them. I think that every group should keep good books and know where their money goes, but I think that they're doing good work and that they should be complimented and not, given a evil eye for whatever. I think they know what they are giving their money to complement their services and their program better than other people do. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gail Kirk Taylor. I live at 7624 18th Avenue. 30 years ago, I was an elementary school counselor working at Grant Elementary School. And at that time, Dave Beth was our DARE officer. I got to see him beginning of his career and advancing over the next 2 years to become an excellent teacher. He formed wonderful relationships with our kids. And I remember more than a few incidents where kids had gotten themselves into trouble, and part of their emotional reaction to all this was that they had disappointed the DARE officer. So I'd really like to encourage you to continue with this program. It is a very important program. As an elementary school counselor, when that program came into being, I was relieved of the burden of doing this important work with kids, and left me free to deal with more of the emotional, social-emotional growth of children. I think it's a very important program. Our kids need this information, and to get rid of it because it's not politically appropriate anymore or politically savvy, I think would be a terrible mistake.
No. Any other citizens' comments? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Supervisor comments? Anything from the committee? Supervisor Thomas? I have no comments. Approval of the minutes from August 3rd. There was a slight clerical change that I made with staff, just as to who asked a question that was in the minutes.
I did notice that it's, in one line it said Supervisor Belsky was there, and then the next it said she wasn't. So if you could fix that too.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Is there a motion,
motion to approve? Sorry.
Second.
As amended.
As amended.
A motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Bashaw, Youth and Governance. Committee, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Number seven, resolution from the Sheriff's Department, comprehensive opioid stimulant and substance abuse program.
Long document.
Good evening. I'm here to represent the Kenosha Sheriff's Department. My name is Captain Horace Staples. Read the resolution to you. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department Detentions Division was awarded a grant of $150,000 from the Wisconsin Department of Justice to reduce the risk of overdose deaths and enhance treatment and recovery services engagements among the pretrial and post-trial populations living in here in Kenosha, as well as being in our correctional facilities. The funds will enable specialized employee training, and I actually have the program manager here of the program, and key staff supervision regarding the medical assisted treatment programming. It'll obtain essential telemedicine and support equipment, HIPAA compliant software, and will provide funding for medical labs, treatment, medications, professional care, assessments, counseling, treatment, and post-release comprehensive community services as access to our community support programs. Kenosha County does not require a HARP match for this award. There are no tax levy dollars that are going to be requested. And the final notations will be this resolution requires no funds from the general fund. The grant increases revenues by $150,000 and increases expenditures by $150,000. If there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer. And I do have DSO Ed Hartnell, who's the program manager for this program here. Yes, ma'am.
Can we just get further explanation of what the process is or what the plans are?
So the grant that we received right now is for a medically assisted treatment to help people that are coming in with addiction to dependency. What we do is we give them a drug called Vivitrol.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. And Vivitrol is a once a month medication that blocks the urges from addiction. So we are going to start using that inside the jail post release, so more of a saturation period. So they have the medication in them prior to them being released from jail. And we're also going to be having people that come back into custody that have been on Vivitrol with a continuum of care of the medication, so we can keep that level of care going for these individuals. So we're going to possibly purchase a little bit of equipment so we can have them do Zoom conferences with therapists. We'll have it with their recovery specialists. We'll have mental health functional screenings done on them so we can find other resources through social services for them and try to get them all set up prior to their release.
Okay. Does this also fund the nurse to administer it?
So
and
the,
also
so
the
funding,
Vivitrol itself?
Well, the Vivitrol is what we'll be purchasing, but we hold a contract with a NAPCARE right now.
Right.
And those would be billing us for the care that they give, for the injections and the testing for their liver enzymes with blood labs and so forth.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
There's nothing like this currently that we are doing. This is all going to be new to us.
Well, yes, before we would get their treatment going, and it would be everything that would happen with them would be post once they were released from jail, so we would actually have to send them over to the health department, whereas now we're going to start administering the injections inside the jail.
So, I have a few more questions.
Sure.
We have then the numbers of if it's how successful it's been, and then we can compare it to when we start this program, the success that this program will have.
We're going to have to start with this grant tracking individuals that we're servicing as well.
We're not doing that now?
We are doing that now.
Okay.
But it wasn't to do with the grant before, and once we released those folks from jail is when their Badger Care healthcare insurance would take care of, you know, the Vivitrol medication, whereas they didn't have insurance prior, so when they come to jail, they wouldn't have insurance. We would have to burden the cost of the medication.
Okay.
Now we'll have the funding and the medication to help these folks out when they come into the jail as well.
Okay. And then will this, and this might not be a question for you, it might be a question more for finance, this will be a dedicated amount of money that can only be used for these very specific items that they that they're required
grant,
to use
grant
by.
Grant specific
items.
The funding for.
So this should be its own line item with its own revenue and expense. Is that what I'm assuming it's going to be laid on? We'd have its own general ledger number and all that.
It won't have its own line item because the expenses and the revenue will fit into line items that already exist, but they'll be tracked separately. So when we pull up transactions on the equipment line item, we'll say, for example,
so we're,
it
we're
will
able
be
to track
labeled as saying this is a MAT grant expense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's
part of the requirement because we will be required to submit reportings with
right.
the state 4 times a year, which includes like the program measurements that you were talking about.
Okay, so we'll be able to get updated results as we start progressing through this every quarter or so.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Belsky.
I was wondering if once they're released, would they still come to the health nurse afterwards? And then would that be covered by Badger Care or?
Once they're released, usually typically the programs we start them with is like the Kenosha Human, or I'm sorry, the Kenosha Health Department,
mm-hmm.
where they would go there then to get their injections after that. Or we use Professional Service Group of Kenosha and West Grove Clinic of Kenosha. So their treatment starts with therapy after their release from us, so therapy and medication.
So will we see an increase then because we're providing this additional service? Will we see an additional increase in our contracts that we have for nursing?
Well, I believe that we would be billed if we are giving them the injection in jail from
okay.
Our health provider, which the grant will cover.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Supervisor Thomas?
Yeah, got a couple of questions. So the current program, what would you say the success rate is and what do you base success on?
I can tell you over the last 2.5 years, we've put approximately 200 people out on this program with possibly 30 of them coming back. So 170 people have never come back to the jail again in that time so far.
Sure.
And your next question was what?
No, and then, so what are you going to base success on this program? I mean, how do you hope to improve on that?
Well, we're hoping, you know, before COVID hit, we had all these facilitators coming in and doing the work for us. And once that happened and nobody could come in, we had to kind of take it on our roles and do it for my position to do it inside the building and communicate with these professionals on the outside of the building. So we're hoping to expand it now to where we can start using some of this equipment so they can, we didn't have funding for new equipment before. So now we're gonna try to get a relationship with the inmates and the therapists and the doctors and whoever else we use, Kenosha Human Development Service, Professional Service Group, and have a relationship with them going while they're in the jail through the Zoom meetings because they're still not coming into the jail.
So how many, you said 200 went through this over the last 2.5 years. How many refused to go through this program?
Four.
Okay, so almost everybody volunteered.
Almost everybody.
So I guess the last point I have is I was in a committee meeting last night and the county is being awarded almost $10 million in an opioid settlement, of which we're going to get about $8 million spread over from two different groups, Johnson & Johnson, then a handful of just wholesalers, over 14 and 18 years, depending on which one. And they just got their first check for $289,000. Is there any coordination between programs that might be offered from Human Services, John Jansen, did he speak with any of you guys on the grant that you guys are receiving and the money that they've already started to receive on maybe how you can coordinate efforts?
It's two different piles of money.
Ours came from, it's all the same county.
Well, but the Department of Justice is different than the Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh, no, I understand that. So my question is, though, is there things that you would like to address but you can't, that maybe that money could be better used at for, you know what I'm saying? Because you see it from a whole different perspective than maybe Human Services. And I'm just curious if you guys have even met to talk about you getting this grant and then getting basically, you know, $300,000.
On my end, we haven't talked to John Jansen about that.
Because he has 9 programs he has to select from. I would think, they have 2 programs that are complementary to each other. Maybe not all the money that they're getting from this settlement goes towards that. But if there's a way to prevent people from getting in jail the first time and, you know, catch them early, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, that'd be the ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, put me out of business, that would be ideal.
A lot of people would be out of business too, right? But I guess I'm just saying there should be some coordination because that's a lot of money.
I think one time we had talked about that briefly, and I think that would be something prior to arrest that you're referring to.
Some kind of preemptive strike kind of thing.
And that would go, I think, through the DA's office.
Is that right? Okay. Would anything go through like Donna Rhodes, gang prevention? I'm just asking.
I don't know. The reason I'm saying this is a lot of little
there's always a
serpent pilot. Heads out there sure. Within the county that are working on the same things, but not always coordination on similar
right.
types of projects.
I think there's always pilot programs that always can be brought up to see if something like that would work or check out other counties to see if they're doing something like that as well. But what we have talked about before, I believe, was that the DA's office would be, you know, pre-arrest for something like this.
But I think, I mean, if you guys are having that kind of success rate, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything further from the committee?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Deckard, second by Supervisor Belsky, Youth and Governance. How do you vote?
Aye.
Committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that passes.
Thank you.
All right, number 8, discussion of DARE goals and curriculum with our new DARE officer.
Hello, members of the board. The figure we do for you tonight is we would do a real quick introduction, a little bit of history of the DARE program. And Deputy Root is here with me too to kind of tell what the DARE program does, what the lessons look like, and whatever they do now. Back in '89, the first DARE officer was sent to for the first training, and that was me. And the first class graduated in 1990. The federal government came up with grants and paid for officers to be DARE instructors. The program grew. In '82, it started in Los Angeles, and in the '90s, it started growing worldwide, and it's still worldwide. The program, currently, I don't remember exactly how many schools we have, but I think every school west of the interstate is part of it. Every parochial school east of the interstate, 2 unified school districts were in the past, and I think we're picking up one more, right?
We are picking up one
more. Curtis Strange has requested to be part of it, too. So the program, when I first started teaching it, it has a program set for, the city started teaching it, too. We had 6 DARE officers teaching it between the city and the county. We were teaching in the 6th grade back then. We were teaching in the middle school, and we were also teaching in high school at Central of Wilmot, and had the program. And when the federal funding ran out for the city dropped the program, and the Unified asked us to do it, but we didn't have the personnel to do it. So we have a couple of officers now. It's down to Deputy Rudin. I think we have 2 more being trained?
2 more that just got out.
To be teaching with us and assisting us in teaching the DARE program. But we're still only doing the 5th grade class. And we teach literally In the past, I had about 10,000 students. Deputy Rowe estimated about 25,000 students, and Deputy Rude will have thousands before the end of the year. And it's one of the best received programs in the entire county. As you heard, and didn't even recognize, one of my teachers and from being here today, it was really nice to have that come in. But it's connections that we have with students, connections that we have with teachers and schools, and connections that we have with families. And if you have never been to a DARE graduation, Parochial Schools East, the Interstate, does one at St. Mark's, and they will have hundreds of parents and grandparents show up for the church service and the DARE graduation. The graduations that are west of the interstate have, well, Salem is huge. Salem probably has 300-400 people show up for their DARE graduation as far as parents. And other schools are wherever they hold them, they're filled. The entire gym or the entire cafeteria, wherever they do it, is filled. The DARE program is a great connection. Everybody is calling for work, law enforcement, working with schools and kids in the community, and the DARE program does exactly that. And when I've had parents in the past come up to me and said, "You kept my kids off drugs," I said, "No." I said, "You did. As a parent, you did. The community did. The schools did." I said, "We were just a very, very small part of what you do." And the DARE program, I'm going to let Deputy Root talk about this, but the DARE program, when I did it, there were 18 different lessons, including the graduation. We covered a lot of different topics, and the topics have changed some, and they've been updated since I was teaching the DARE program. So I'm going to let Deputy Root talk about what the DARE program is and what they do now.
All right, hello everyone. I'm Deputy Casey Root. Some of you I recognize. From the last 4 years out at Central High School, which I worked as an SRO, and I started doing DARE 3 years ago, went to the class up in Minnesota, and it's been nothing but fun teaching DARE. And on Wednesdays when I was teaching at Central, I would leave on half days and go teach at Unified Schools, Frank and Wilson. And I can tell you right away, it's been one of the most rewarding experiences. Sometimes you don't know to expect from certain classes, you walk in and smile and greet and introduce yourself, but I mean, our classes are 10 weeks in graduation with all of our lessons. Our lessons are range from making safe and responsible decisions, discuss risks and consequences, respond to peer pressure and the health effects of drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. As the sheriff said, curriculum has changed quite a bit. I mean, being a SRO at Central the last 4 years, maybe two cigarettes. We found kids smoking. The vaping epidemic is startling. I mean, we got kids coming as freshmen vaping, and it's very frustrating. It's frustrating for the parents, the teachers, the schools, and the DARE curriculum is catching up to the vaping problem. I know in my classes, they would talk about in the workbooks that are being updated with the vaping lessons, they would talk about tobacco and classic cigars and cigarettes and things like that. But I would, from my experience of being at Central and seeing the vaping problems, it really helped me because I would put that into the lesson and talk about it and go into depth. The DARE program is evolving. It's current. DARE America is the website that I'm always keeping up with, and they notify us that there are annual conferences. They give us updates, and the curriculum, a lot of people don't know. The curriculum starts, they have programs from kindergarten all the way through high school, and it's amazing the work they put into the surveys they do with a range of students and classes and certified instructors, and the ways, different avenues we can go with DARE. But as our department, I can only do so much with one full-time deputy friendly, and then obviously we're adding two to our DARE team. That would be Alex Hyatt. He took my spot as SRO at Central, He's a great guy. And David Kless, who's still a road deputy, but we're getting definitely more, especially with more schools being interested. It's kind of awesome when I'm going either the county fair, run into old friends I graduated from high school with, which was a long time ago, and they're coming up to me going, hey, how you know, oh, you're doing Darren? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, I'm teaching over at such and such school. Well, we'd love to have Darren up there, because I mean, I went through there and a lot of my friends went through Dare, and it's still a great program. So that's great to hear, and it's awesome that they want to bring Dare back to their schools if they haven't had it in forever, because our message is clear, and we gotta, you know, do as much as we can to get in touch with these kids and this community, and I mean everyone. And as the sheriff said, you should see these graduations. I mean, it's wild, and the kids love it, and the kids light up. And it's very interactive, all of our lessons all the way through graduation, and it's a blast. But I know that COVID, when I came on, it was 2019, and it was tough for the DARE program. Actually, they had to teach it virtually, and I don't know if we have any teachers in the room that actually had to teach virtually. Yeah, it was awesome. So teaching DARE especially, and I would see the teachers' faces, and they were all looking at the cameras just tired, and the kids are chewing whatever and playing video games. It was tough. It was a tough time, and but when I got back into the classrooms, but going back to the COVID, a lot of the events that we have, you know, we had the ones I've been a part of, the Action Territory Night. Before COVID, we had the Tinseltown Movie Night for graduates, Wilmot Mountain tubing events for graduates. We had a social, which back when I was in Dare a long time ago, we had a pizza social at Tremper years ago, and they were fun. They were good times. This year we added Kona with a Cop. We teamed up with the Salem Community Library, and we kind of didn't know what to expect, and it was awesome. We had midsummer, we had 300 kids show up with their parents. So we were kind of overwhelmed, but it was awesome. The kids had a great time. You know, that's the kind of stuff we want to continue, and we want to grow. And I believe with expanding our team, we can do that. And with the support of the community, which I believe we still have, I'd like to continue this. It's a great thing.
Deputy Rue didn't tell you, but at the social, he won the dance competition.
I can't tell you what kind of dance it was, but it was nice and clean fun.
Do you guys have any quick questions about what we teach at the DARE program?
I have a question. What does the curriculum have about fentanyl?
Fentanyl, so that's more geared towards, and again, the curriculum is evolving, but with fentanyl, I talk with the elementary schools. There's nothing in the actual workbook about it, but I would talk about drug use and the dangers of drug use and how we not know what, like, so at Central, I would tell these students, well, I deal with vapes, and there's different kind of vapes. There's THC vapes, and most of the kids, most don't know about heroin. They might hear about it, but they haven't really had any exposure to it, and usually fentanyl, in most cases, is it goes along with heroin. But recently, we're finding more and more different kinds of drugs that are being laced with fentanyl. And so with fentanyl kind of being more present in the last year or two, I would bring it up. I would ask my students, who here has heard of THC cartridges? If they haven't, great. Okay. I say, hey, there's different kinds of drugs out there. There's prescription pills we talk about. But fentanyl is another type of drug that you don't want in your body. It's a chemical. And I explain as far as what drugs are, and it's a chemical in your body, and what it can do to you. And I try to keep as current as I can with educating these kids, because, I mean, it's not going away. So I think that we have to stay on it. And I'm asking the kids questions. Do you guys know what this is? Well, you know, here's what it is. And if kids have a question about it, I'm opening it up to questions for all the students. If a student has a question about fentanyl or prescription pills, whatnot, we can talk about it. But at the end of the day, it's all bad for you. And here's ways to stay away from it. It's about prevention, trying to get them not to try a drug that might have fentanyl in it. So, that's a great question.
It deals with life skills. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it also deals with is cyberbullying. And, you know, how that works, how it affects the other kids, how it affects families. So like I said, the DARE program touches on a lot of different things. And as the kids, we teach the core program, it's to 11-year-olds. So there is a middle school program and there's a high school program, which I had the pleasure of teaching many years ago. And at that point, you start getting a little bit more in detail about some of the different things. All right, I guess there was a question last meeting. I guess there was a question about Concerned Citizens Coalition. And
Before we go down that path, it's divided into two subject areas. I'm sorry, Chairman. So if I may, I sent you questions earlier today, and
I was off for 7 days. I've got over 1,000 emails, so
that's okay.
I didn't see anything.
That's okay. I sent you questions earlier today, so I want to take some time and try to understand foundational material.
That's okay. We'll do this first, and this might answer some of your foundational material.
It doesn't answer my questions, actually. That's a different line item, a different category that we're going down the path.
I'm
going
to pass these out anyhow.
Okay. So you provided an overview of DARE, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the program. I think it's awesome. We live in an environment where, I'll say it unfortunately.
Wait, are you on number 9?
He's on DARE.
Are you still on the program?
I'm still on the same topic that we started on. We haven't moved on.
Okay.
So DARE program is awesome, but we do hear a lot more drug use happening, a lot more problems in our communities. It's on the rise, not on the decline. Which brought me to where my questions really come from is how do we measure objectively the different aspects of the program? What are our goals? What are our strategies? And those were the questions that were asked last time that we were here as well, and I wanted to focus on those. And I also heard a comment from the community. I don't believe anyone at this table, and I certainly know not for myself, none of us are looking at any damage or detriment to DARE. It's a program that has brought tremendous opportunity in our schools. I know when I went through a drug program in Northwest Indiana back in, that was before middle school, so 70s, that was my introduction to drugs, and I thought, man, this is really stupid. I didn't know what they were, how you used them, where you bought them, any of that, but that was the introduction that we had back then. So the programs do much, much better, and I appreciate that. So I asked last time about, the business plan for. So you talked about increasing number of schools, activities, et cetera. The response we had when we were here last month was, well, we really don't have a business plan, don't have a strategy. We use the money that we get in and we apply it. So it's a responsive type strategy. So I was asking, what is the strategy? What is the plan? What does that look like? Is there something tangible that we can review so we can understand the program more clearly?
Sure. Got an overview of everything.
So, and just in case, and I didn't know any of these questions were coming. I heard you guys had your meeting last time, but I was just trying to for the folks that haven't read anything about DARE or just unsure about statistics and the return on the investment of DARE. So the most recent evaluation of the DARE program, the Keeping It Real, that's what they call it, the curriculum. That was just released in January 2022. So, and actually, I didn't print out one for everyone. I'm sorry if you guys want to pass them around there, but all these are available. The most recent evaluations and surveys on DARE America website, and they're PDF form. You can print them out if you want to read them, but it's very user friendly to show the effects of DARE, the positive effects of DARE.
DARE on a national level or on a local level?
On a national level, okay. Yeah. To do one on a local level. I suppose it could be done, but I'm going to see what the budget be on that. But otherwise, you can pass these out if you guys want to check them out. And that's what it looks like on the national level. This one was conducted by UNC Greensboro, and that's the most recent. And DARE America does periodically go through and review DARE and its effectiveness.
Okay. So, thank you. I appreciate that. Is DARE a nonprofit or is it a budgeted line item? How do we manage DARE within the county?
The only expense that...
I'm going to save that question, Sheriff, for the next discussion. What we're under now is solely curriculum, not the financial side of DARE. So if you got a different question, Supervisor Bradshaw.
I do. I asked for an overview of the marketing materials, et cetera, because I've seen expenditures around that. what do we have? Do we do banners, mailings, t-shirts? What do we do to promote the program?
You want me to take this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So again, this is, I'm transitioned to the full-time spot that Ray Rowe held. I'm still learning the position as far as, because if I had a DARE graduation, I would call Ray and say, hey, I got a DARE graduation at Wilson. I need 30 DARE t-shirts and along with diplomas and graduation prize. For essay winners, usually have some kind of a prize or a necklace or whatnot, saying, hey, great job. We have banners, we have flags for these ceremonies and such. But yeah, there's so, I mean, everything from the workbooks, and we order the workbooks through DARE America by, you know, the hundreds, because every kid gets one, they get to keep it, and they get to reference it, and if they wish to do so. But yeah, along those lines of, again, I'm just getting into the whole thing now. I know I was just talking with Angela this last week, and I need this to order this for whatnot. So I'm just dipping my toe into all the purchasing of what. But as far as supplies go, yeah, it's everything, the materials for the kids and pencils and pencil cases, all stickers, all those kinds of things. Especially when we get into schools and kids always want stickers.
It's fifth grade.
Fun stuff, exactly. They want Makes stuff to stick on everything, and hey, what kind of what I can do with this? So, yeah.
And Sheriff Beth, you said 50,000 students, that's cumulative? About how many students do we see on an annualized?
It's pretty easy. Most classes are 20 to 30 kids, and you just multiply how many classes you got by 20 to 30.
Okay.
How many kids have gone through the DARE program?
No, how many go through annualized, roughly?
How many classes are you teaching this year?
So, yeah, I'm doing my schedule now for the, it's doing a trimester. So I am taking over, I would count at 13 different schools. I mean, but then you're going to get Salem grade school is 5 fifth grade classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, then some of the smaller schools, like Kenosha Lutheran might have one, Brighton might have one, or might have two, but they combine them because they're smaller classes. So it's going to vary a little bit, but I can get back to you with the total if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes to the finance side. So since the chairman slowed me down, since I asked you to hold and let us continue on this subject line first, I'll turn it back.
Any other committee members have questions about the curriculum, the program itself? Either to you, Sheriff Beth, or Deputy Rude, you said that we have three deputies that teach DARE, including yourself.
Yeah.
So we have two then part-time DARE officers, if you will. They're mm-hmm. full-time deputies, but part-time they teach DARE. Then are they just normal road deputies or conveyance or wherever they're assigned outside of that? Or
how's the school resource officer?
Yeah, I mentioned I mentioned it real quick that Alex Hyatt took my spot at Central. When I was at Central the last 4 years, actually the last 3 years I started teaching DARE there, but on Wednesdays would be early release, and I'd be allowed to travel down to Wilson or Frank and teach DARE. And Alex has taken that role, and he just, Alex and Deputy Kless just graduated from their, just recently graduated from their training. So they have not taken any DARE, or taught any DARE classes yet. And but Alex is currently scheduling. I sent him all my resources so he can set up the schedule for this year to start teaching.
And so I heard you mention a couple of different grades. So DARE is taught K through 12, but focus, it sounds like it's primarily focused on fifth grade, you mentioned a lot. Mm-hmm. But, and then you talked about time at Central. What age group, you know, what year at Central are you teaching this? How does that?
We teach fifth grade the DARE program. School resource officers are assigned to the high schools as resource officers, not teaching the DARE program. But what they do is they'll go into classes and teach classes when requested by a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the DARE program is taught to fifth grade.
Okay. So is this something that you, Deputy Reuter, the sheriff, in your capacity as a full-time officer, is there a program, or does, let me ask it this way, does DARE have a program geared towards high school kids? Because it's hard to teach, you know, we heard about the fentanyl. It's mm-hmm. hard to teach fifth graders what fentanyl is.
Sure.
They don't understand, you know. They understand drugs as a mm-hmm. concept. They're bad, but they don't understand them at the level even high school students do or what we do as adults. Mm-hmm. Does DARE have a program for high school students?
They do.
We would need, no, that's okay. We would need, what we had before was 6 DARE officers, 3 from the city, 3 from the county that were teaching middle school, Knowing one middle school, so I took middle school, and also taught Wilmot and Central classes. We would need, just to get the schools, the elementary schools, middle schools of Kenosha, and two high schools west of the interstate, we'd need six officers full-time to do it. Unified and everything.
Right. And is that, you know, middle school, is that teaching sixth, seventh, eighth?
That would be an eighth grade class.
Okay, so it's it sounds like fifth, eighth, and then what year is it taught in high school?
Sophomore. So that's what it used to be. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah, so they have, I mean, they have each grade at level they do have. The primarily one for the elementary school is the fifth grade, where the full lesson plan is for the for that curriculum with the workbook. They have a curriculum for the middle school and high school. But as far as what you were saying, as far as the high school goes for education about, you know, drug abuse. So when I was at Central, it was a huge benefit that I was a DARE instructor too, because I go to these classes and, you know, I bring some of my workbooks in from DARE, or some of the literature I had from DARE school, and I would say, hey guys, you know, go over some stuff. And yeah, again, from going from like the elementary schools, you know, them fentanyl, I think I've heard of that, but you talk to any high school kid, he's gonna know what fentanyl is.
Right.
And I mean, it's scary, because it really does scare me, because fentanyl, you know, we would find the THC cartridges, again, those are the ones with little oil or wax in them that the kids can vape. That just really, really, I mean, because years ago with the Epics, everybody remembers those, the original vape pens, and they've been kind of evolving, and now the vaping of the THC cartridges. Recently, I know deputies on the road and our drug unit have found fentanyl in these THC cartridges. And of these are, I mean, and this is students throughout this county and this nation, high school students. I mean, so a lot of them are like, oh yeah, I might have tried that, but you know, you're just throwing fentanyl in there. I think, yeah, they need to know. Yeah, I mean, they probably heard of it, but a lot of them don't even know that, you know, all the small amount of fentanyl that could kill you. And I think that needs to be, you know, brought up to these kids and really, I mean, really inform them of what's going on.
There's a huge difference between children east of the interstate and west of the interstate. And if you've ever had a chance to work with the children in the different schools, don't get me wrong, not all of them, but in grade school, where my kids went to school, I talked to the teachers and they said, oh, I had this kid do this, and what a, you know, I've got a tough class. And I said, your tough class is nothing compared to, you know, like being over at Washington, or being at Lincoln, or there's a difference in the kids and what they know. The kids west of the interstate grow up a lot more naive to some of this information than the kids east of the interstate do. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I was glad my kids grew up in Brighton and didn't have to face it until they were at least in 14, 15, 16 years old. But if you were to have a program like this in the high schools in the east of the west of the interstate, are good too. But if any of you would like to go to one of the classes, I don't think Deputy Root would have an issue with any one of you coming to see any one of the classes. Give them a few weeks to kind of get the icebreaker going and see how that works. But we loved showing off our classes and what we learned back when I did it. And you're all welcome to come and see what any one of those classes look like.
Is this something that you have a health teacher on the West End or here in the city saying, hey, I'm teaching my high school kids, we're going through drugs is our next unit, can you come in and, you know, for one of our periods, maybe, you know, the whole day you're spending in that health department teaching different, or that health class teaching different individual classes. Do we have that curriculum already for the high school level?
So as far as when I was in SRO, that was an understanding from day one. It's part of the triad as far as being in the school resource officer role about educating students. And rather it be health, senior strategies, there's a few other classes they'd bring me in for educational purposes, and personal experiences. You know, I'd go into senior strategy classes and talk about drunk driving, And I always talk about one case where a kid wrapped his car around a pole and I had to go tell his mom in the night that her son died. And there's usually not a dryer in the room afterwards. And I'm like, well, if I can't, you know, hit it out of the park with that, I don't know what I can do, what I can't do. Because it's that kind of stuff is important. And as far as drinking and driving and drug use and the effects it has on you physically, emotionally, and your family, I would do every year, first and second semester, different classes at Central. They would request me to come in and have a PowerPoint and slideshow, and I enjoy doing it because the kids need to hear that.
But is it something that Trumper High School calls you? You're not the SRO.
No.
Do we have that capacity to go in there and say, yeah, I can spend a half hour with your class?
We don't have the manpower to do that.
Well, yeah. And you have to get permission from KUSD. So we just got asked to do Curtis Strange. They had to get special permission from their board for us to be in KUSD.
The only schools we do are Wilson, Frank, and now Curtis Strange.
Supervisor Thomas.
So I'm a little confused. Maybe you can help straight it out. So there one time there were 6 officers, 3 county, 3 city?
Yes.
Okay, and now there's 1 full-time, 2 part-time for the
yes.
county. Is there any for the city? No. Do you know what this recent referendum they just passed for the 10 officers, are any of them going to be dedicated for to resume that program with there? Did they give you any insight? Morrissey?
That's city.
It was never discussed with us.
Okay, so why did we go down from 3 full-time to 1 full-time and I guess now 2 half-time?
Funding.
So when did that happen?
Let's see, about 97.
Okay, so 25 years ago. Okay, has it been asked for since then?
The high schools?
To like refund it like 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah, Clinton was still the president back when it was being funded.
All right. To clarify, Sheriff, originally DARE was funded by the federal government, not the local, you know.
I don't know if it got channeled through the state or not, and I don't know if there were matches that the county had to do. I'm not really aware of that, because that wasn't my job back then. I can only give you approximately how many people would be required to do it now. And that does not include the city high schools.
Right.
Supervisor Wendell?
Or, city elementary schools, yes.
I just wanted to clarify something that you said. This in the city, the SROs at the high schools will go into the health classes and do some teaching on various topics, just to set that part straight.
And DARE also deals with violence, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
What does that curriculum look like outside just the drugs but into the violence?
As far as like bullying and resistance strategies, yeah, there's the whole lessons on that and how to deal with it. In each one of these lessons we have like a scenario at the end of a brief cartoon almost animation that sets it up and we talk about how to deal with a bully. If you know someone that's getting bullied, what should you do? The difference between telling and tattling, stuff like that. That's stuff that a fifth grader can understand. And as far as violence, is occurring, how to go about telling someone. If you observe it, you interfere. That one of those covers a bunch of different scenarios like that. So, and what to do when you that presents itself.
Any other questions on the curriculum? If not, Sheriff, before you continue with what you passed out, I'm going to ask for a recess. We printed documents for the committee that, as you can imagine, took some time, so we need to get those documents.
Okay. Motion to recess.
Okay. Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's okay. I'll be just... Okay. Sure. I'm sure there's stamps. Yeah.